Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." The whole aspect here of relationship, God gave us one in relationship. For time's sake, I'm not going to go on to that much, but I'm going to finish the rest of the verse. "And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." I love that, and if we had all afternoon, I'd spend time going through each of those five names, and we'd speak about it and what it means. Who Jesus is, and not only his personhood, but also in his relationship with us. But I find that there's a very interesting thing, that right in the middle of this verse that speaks of relationship, speaks of who Jesus is, and of course 5 away speaks of grace. Jesus came full of grace and truth. But right in the middle of it, we have this statement, "And the government will be upon his shoulder." Now, one of the things that I have been praying about and working through for the last couple of years, really, is the whole concept and understanding, God, what does it look like to have structure in a culture of grace? See, there are some people I know who say, well, if you have a culture of grace, you don't have any structure. But that doesn't sit right with me, because I believe that we serve a God of incredible order and structure and detail. So when I was praying, Lord, how do you put structure in the midst of a culture of grace? What does that look like? This was the verse that God gave me. And he said, look at it. And here, right in the midst of talking about character, talking about grace, talking about the beauty of who Jesus is a statement regarding structure and government. So one of the things that I'm really feeling for this year is this whole aspect of structure in the midst of grace. See, Jesus said that new wine needs a new wineskin, not no wineskin. And I believe that if we want to see an increase of the wine and an increase of what we saw this morning, I believe that we need to find out what a grace structure looks like. How do you build that? See, the challenge for me is I don't see too many models to copy. There's not how-to books written on how to structure a grace church. They're just not out there. Now, if we ran a legalistic church, that would be easy. I would be able to get you to come on time simply through the use of shame and guilt. Okay, yeah, I can see a few nods, yeah. Some of you maybe have been in churches where they use that. Man, that would be so easy to use. And it's like, done, Lord, can't use that. I can't just make them feel bad when they don't come on time. If we had a church of performance, I could get you all to perform on the duty roster, because we would all be trying to perform and we'd all be trying to look good and we would all be acknowledged for everything that we do and life would be sweet. Except all that you would be doing would be performing. And we're not wanting to build a church based on performance. So it's like, well, Lord, what does it look like? If we're not going to build it on guilt and we're not going to build it on performance, Lord, how the heck do you do this? So that's been a little bit of our journey the last couple of years. It's like, we don't want legalism. Legalism and control is nice and easy, especially when you're a pastor. But I don't know about you, but I want grace, mercy, love, kindness. I want people to come here and be genuine. I don't want you to put on a mask when you come through the door. I want you to be you. So that's why we're building a grace culture here, so that people can be who they are. I mean, John jumping up this morning and finishing by bopping his head, or only John could do it that way. And I mean, I never know in the midst of my preaching who's going to pass a comment or say something. Why? Because we're building a culture of family. We're building a culture where people can be individuals. I loved prayer meeting this morning. We had it outside on the picnic table out by the car park. And we were all praying together, but we had some of us sitting the right way at a picnic table. We had a couple of people, no, they weren't sitting the right way, they were lounging back against the table. We had some people standing up. We even had two men with their arms around each other. I mean, goodness me. And I just started to laugh because every person there was simply being them in the midst of a prayer meeting. And for me, that was huge. So I invite you to come with me on a journey this year. A journey of adding structure in the midst of grace. And I believe one of the keys to that is each of us learning to be a doulos. Not performance driven, but doulos driven. Now, doulos is nothing to do with paint, though it sounds a little bit like it. So let me introduce to you the word doulos. Doulos is usually translated servant, or more correctly, a bond servant. Vine says it frequently indicating subjection without the idea of bondage. A slave is somebody that was under bondage, and a slave had to serve. A bond servant in the Bible is one who chooses to serve. And every one of your apostles referred to themselves as a bondservant. Romans 1, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. You have an amazing contrast here. You have a man who knew that he was called to be an apostle, knew that there was an anointing upon him to build churches, to bring structure, to bring order. And Paul did a lot of that. But he first starts by saying, I'm a bond servant. I'm a doulos. And if you look through, you'll see that Peter, Jude, John, all of them introduce themselves as doulos. The whole concept comes from the Old Testament, where after 7 years, a slave was set free. Great system. But there were some slaves who said, no, I love the master. I just want to stay here and I want to serve this man until I die. That person became a bondservant or a handmaiden. And that's what Mary said, behold the handmaiden of the Lord. So that word is doulos. We find it here in Philippians 2, 5 to 7. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant or doulos, and coming in the likeness of men. Again, Jesus knew who he was. It's a picture of Jesus at the Last Supper where it says, Jesus, knowing that he'd come from the Father and he was going to the Father, rose up and he took the towel and the basin and started washing feet. See, I don't believe you can actually become a doulos until you know who you are in God. Until you know your identity as a son. Until you know that you are called by God. It's only then that you can freely lay that down and say, God, I don't want to get to the end of my days, stand before you in heaven and say, I had a great time. You blessed me. Wow. 70 odd years. That was good. Couple of rough patches there, but you came through, God. I'm here. Thanks for the journey. Glad I'm here. No, I believe that there are people here with a heart that says, when I get to heaven, I'm going to want to be able to look at Father God and say, thank you, you blessed me. And not only that, but I was able to be part of what you were doing in the earth. I wasn't there just to have a good time, but I was there to serve you. I was there to make sure that your will and your purpose was accomplished through my life. Thank you for that privilege. And our Bible tells us that God's going to turn to us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You'll get there as a son, but when you get there, you'll be rewarded as a servant or a doulos. Don't rob yourself of your reward. Well, what does a grace structure look like? I think, again, a major key to it is this verse in Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You wouldn't have a body without structure. Your whole body system is built on different systems of structure. Now, your little toe may not do as much as your index finger, but you still need your little toe. They've discovered that we cannot walk properly without our little toe. You may feel like you're insignificant and don't have much of a part to play, but you are part of the body and you are significant. And I believe God wants to use your life to bless others. And it says here in Ephesians that we can cause the growth of the body. We can cause people to be built up in love. How do we do that? Well, I see two things here. Number one, it talks about every part does its share. What does that look like? Well, it looks like family. In a family, there are things to do. There's lawns to mow, there's dishes to do. And your three-year-old probably is not going to mow your lawns. Well, I hope your three-year-old is not going to be out there with the lawnmower mowing your lawns. But even the three-year-old learns to pick up toys, learns to put knives and forks on the table. Why? Because they're part of the family. And I believe that the body is equipped and grows and is strengthened in love just as every part does its share. Remember, Jesus picked up a towel and washed feet. The second way is as every joint supplies, second line. To me, that speaks of gifting and anointing. A joint is where one part is joined to another part. And I believe it speaks of where you have been joined into the body. Now, I mentioned before people who are singing up the front. When they sing and when they minister, the whole body is built up. I wouldn't have been able to do what I did this morning if it wasn't for the musicians behind me. Okay? They labored with me. And because of that, people were built up in love. You have something to give. If you're not sure what that is, come and talk to me and I'll help you find it. Amazing thing happens, you know, when people start to give of themselves. Let's look at this verse. Psalm 110, verse 3. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. This is kind of a little bit like the chicken and the egg. What showed up first? I believe it's very easy for people to jump on board when God's power is present. But I believe God's looking for people who will get on board so his power will be present. See, whatever you carry is needed in the body. Stop trying to be somebody else, just be you, because we need you. Father, thank you. Lord, we want to see your power in our midst, and your word says that people will willingly volunteer themselves in the day of your power. And Lord, in faith, we want to volunteer ourselves. We want to become doulos. Lord, not to serve out of performance, not to serve out of have to, but to be those who know who we are in you and give out of love for you. So, Lord, I thank you for every person here. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in pursuit. And, Father, I thank you that you're going to help us know what it looks like to build a grace structure in the middle of a grace culture. And I thank you for that wisdom. In your name, Jesus, amen.